Turn with me in your Bibles to Psalms chapter 116. Psalms 116. Some Bibles have a descriptor under each one of the chapters, and it's listed as a psalm of praise for deliverance from death. As we read through it, and then we'll go through it, consider that. It says, I love the Lord, because He hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because He hath inclined His ear unto me, therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell gat hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech Thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and He helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I have believed, therefore I have spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation. Call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. O Lord, truly I am Thy servant. I am Thy servant and the son of Thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to Thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. Dearly Father, O God, as we come before you tonight, as we open up your word, O instruct me. Lord, teach me tonight. Lord, as we go through this, Lord, you take the credit. You take the honor. You take the praise, O God, that we would truly offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And as we look at this, and as I was getting ready for tonight, started way early on Monday morning because I couldn't sleep. And I came to this psalm and said, this is the one for Wednesday night. But as I was reading this and understanding this, as it's written that it's a psalm of deliverance from death, and as I was looking at it, I see what Christians today ought to apply to our lives on a daily basis. There's basically three points within this psalm. There's a declaration in verses 1 and 2. There's a recollection in verses 3 through 11. And there's a culmination in verses 12 through 19. We start out with a declaration in verses 1 and 2. And he says, I will love the Lord. It's almost as if he's standing there and doesn't really care who's listening. Doesn't care who's in front of him. Doesn't care who's around him. He just bursts out with, I will love the Lord. Imagine you're walking down a busy street and been doing your shopping or doing whatever, and all of a sudden, you're struck with the blessings of God. And out loud, not caring who's shoving and pushing around you, you say, I will love the Lord. 1 John 4:19 says, we will love Him because He first loved us. The psalmist says, I will love Him because He hath heard my voice and my supplications. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. The supplication, understanding that that's the definition, is a humble and earnest prayer. A supplication isn't a prayer where you go in and go, well, Lord, this is I've been doing what's right, and I've been doing everything that I'm supposed to be doing, and Lord, I need an answer in this. It's a, Lord, I am unworthy. And just as Jesus told the sinner, the prayer of the publican and the prayer of the sinner, and how the sinner was over in the corner beating his chest going, I am not worthy. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I love the Lord because He has heard my voice and my supplication. Verse 2, then he goes on and says, because He hath inclined His ear unto me. Isn't it awesome that all the sinner has to do is bow their head and say, Lord, I am a wicked sinner and I can't do it. I'm alone. I trust in You for salvation. John 1:12 says, for as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on His name. Because He hath inclined His ear unto me. John 16:23 says, in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it you. Because He hath inclined His ear unto me, therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. We talk about it often, and tonight being Wednesday night, and the theme for Wednesday night is always prayer. The focus of Wednesday night service has always been about prayer. And we understand that the prayer of salvation is guaranteed to get the ear of God. The prayer of salvation is a guarantee that He will give it to you. But after we do that, after we pray for the prayer of salvation, and we talk about it, and many of us here have been saved for a long time, where do we go after? The psalmist says, therefore I will call upon Him as long as I live. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And do we do that? Can we declare, just as the psalmist did, that I love Him? Because He first loved me. That He heard my voice, that He inclined His ear unto me, and that for here and forevermore I'll call upon Him. Well, the next thing we see in verses 3 through 11 is the recollection. He goes back and he remembers. Verse 3, the sorrows of death compassed me. I remember even as a young boy, and as the preacher was preaching about hell and all of that, and I didn't want to spend eternity there. In 1 Corinthians 15:55-56 says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. The psalmist says, the sorrows of death compassed me. When we received Christ as our Savior, we had to understand that, first of all, we were sinners. I use it often when witnessing to somebody and the description of, if a man is out swimming, the lifeguard standing sitting on the beach or sitting on the side of the swimming pool is unnecessary until the man realizes he's drowning. Once he realizes he is unable to save himself, once he realizes he is without hope, once he realizes he has nothing he can do on his own, he doesn't need that lifeguard. And once the person realizes that they're a sinner, and once they realize they're without hope up until that point, they believe they can make themselves better. They believe they can do something else. And oh, to remember the time back when the sorrows of death compassed me. Oh, you at 9 years old, you weren't close to death. You know, I, as far as physically, no. But all I knew when I was standing right up next to it, that I couldn't, and none of us can guarantee tomorrow. And it worried me that something might happen. And if you know me, before 9, that was a pretty much foregone conclusion. Tell stories on my sister. I barely learned how to crawl. We were living in a house while Dad was going to seminary. And she thought it was really cool because I could climb up the stairs. And so she'd take my ball or toy or whatever I was playing with, and she'd go up the stairs. I'd crawl up the stairs after her, and then she'd roll it down the stairs. And if you've never tried, you cannot crawl downstairs. Mom used to say that I was on a first name basis with all the nurses in the ER for quite some time. So all of the sorrows of death compassed me. The pains of hell get hold upon me. Well, I'm scared as, and because if you understand what hell is truly, it is so easy to make a decision. Darren showed me a post this morning. Why would a loving God send anyone to hell? The true question, as the post said, isn't that, but why would somebody choose hell over a loving God? 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 57 says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Verse number 4 says, "Then call thy upon the name of the Lord." Oh, as we think back, and this is about the Christian and the psalm of praise for deliverance. Oh, we ought to, as we think back to our time when we knelt down, when we bowed our heads, and we said, "Oh God, I'm a wicked sinner, please save me." Whatever the circumstances were for you, when you received Christ as your Savior, then I called upon the name of the Lord. Oh Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. And I don't, there's so many times I've been going through the plan of salvation with somebody and showed them how they could know for sure that they'd have an eternity in heaven. That they'd have that Jesus would be their Savior. That they could turn all of their problems over to Him. That they could receive Him. And they'd go, "I don't know what to pray." "Will you pray it for me?" And often it was only so that easy. That we could just pray something for somebody and that would be the thing to do. But all, when we receive Christ as our Savior, I believe it's very similar to what the psalmist said, "Oh Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul." Verse number 5, he says, "Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful." What do I mean? Ephesians 2, 4 through 5 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved." Oh man, I'm a wicked sinner at age 9 years old, and I hadn't killed anybody yet, but that wasn't probably too far off. Jesus hadn't saved me. Yea, our God is merciful. I know people that have a good friend who wasn't saved until later on in life, didn't receive Christ until later, way late in life, And God is merciful. Mm-hmm. For His great love wherewith He loved us. Verse number 6, he said, then the Lord preserveth the simple. Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, and Nicodemus says, I don't understand. And Jesus says, you must be born again. Nicodemus says, well, I must enter my mother's womb a second time. And Jesus said, you're thinking the wrong way. Our faith must be as a little child. Not under our own wisdom, not under our own understanding. And always we saw that as each one of us received Christ as our Savior, we lay down everything before Him and said, will you take this? The psalmist says, I was brought low, and He helped me. 1 Peter 5, 6, it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. You ever seen anybody prideful except Christ as their personal Savior? I don't believe it's possible. I don't believe it's possible for anybody to go in and say, well, I'll receive Christ as my Savior as long as... I don't believe it's possible for someone to receive Christ as their personal Savior as long with unconfessed sin. In other words, I'm not saying that you have to know and confess every sin that you have. I was talking to a young lady, and Darlene and I were witnessing to her, and she understood that she couldn't go forward with her plans of moving in with her boyfriend, knowing that she was going to go forward living in sin, that if she received Christ as her Savior, she'd have to change her mind about that. And so sad to say that she said, no, I'm not ready yet. 1 Peter 5, 6, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Oh, we'll be lifted up one of these days. We're studying through the book of Revelation, and we see the results of being left behind. We also see that one day we will receive crowns and glory that we can then lay back at Jesus' feet. Verse number 7, he says, return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. When somebody is under conviction, when somebody is under that working of the Holy Spirit, when even as Christians, when we have that sin in our life and we know it's there and God's dealing with us, there's no rest. As we go through the book of Revelation, we talked to a lady a couple weeks ago and mentioned that, hey, you would really enjoy, you ought to come and you know, to adult Bible study, and I'm having a great time with it, if that means anything. And she goes, oh man, that's a scary book. 1 Thessalonians 4:18 covers what God wrote and gave us the Bible for. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Return unto thy rest. Oh, to give all of our burdens, all of our sins, and He nailed them to the cross, knowing that we're secure in Him. A lot of problems with insomnia, I believe, can be cured by turning them over to Jesus. Verse number 8, he says, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Oh man, when we received Jesus Christ, our personal Savior, we were no longer subject to the wages of sin as death. That not the first one, But all that second death, that eternity in a lake of fire, the eternity in hell created for the devil and his angels. In verse number 8, we see a threefold praise. First of all, we see delivered from death. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. It's kind of an easy one. Then we also see dried from our tears. He says, mine eyes from tears. All the sorrow and the sadness over the sins and the end result of a wicked life. But then he says also, determined our path and set my feet from falling and my feet from falling. Oh, that he did these three things: deliverance, dry up our tears, and determined our path. It set us on the way everlasting. Jesus said that wide is the path that leads to destruction. And oh man, we ought to praise God for three ways for delivering us from that death, for drying up our tears that over those things that were causing us issue, for setting our feet on the path to heaven. Verse number 9, he says, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. And after he's done all of this for us, remember, he's looking back, he's remembering, and as he finishes remembering the threefold praise, then he says, I will walk before the Lord. We saw a couple weeks ago that thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Where do we walk now? Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. And I'm reading a book on mentoring, and just barely into it, and it is focused on the life of the Christian and how we ought to be discipling and how we ought to be mentoring somebody. And the psalmist understood that he's going to walk before the Lord. Why? Because no matter where we're at in life, no matter what age, no matter what position or standard or whatever, we can be on the lowest totem pole at work and still be a leader to somebody, even at work. Where are we walking at? Because somebody's fallen. The poem for Father's Day that talks about where you're walking at, because there's little steps following you. But I believe that applies to every Christian as we're walking, that there is somebody who is trying to step in our footprints. As we're walking, are we trying to step to walk in the footprints of Jesus? Verse number 10, he says, I believe. Therefore I have spoken. I was greatly afflicted. Luke 6:45, a good man out of a good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil, for of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. I believe, therefore have I spoken. Boy, that doesn't speak to the fact that as every time we see somebody, and every time we go all the way back to verse number 1, walking down the busy street, walking in a busy Walmart, and God just strikes you with something, and I will love the Lord. I was talking to Darlene a couple days ago, and I said, hey, I want to talk to you. She says, what do you want to talk about? Well, the song was stuck in my brain and said, well, let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is He. I don't remember the whole song now, but and I hadn't heard that song in forever, and she goes, I hadn't heard that song, and I said, well, I just heard it on Sunday morning, because when I came to church, for some reason, when I walked in the door, that song stuck in my head. And as I was turning on lights and getting ready for the morning, that song was going through my head. And all as the Christian is, as we remember all the stuff that Jesus did for us, that I love Him, that's what ought to be our response. Oh, let's talk about Jesus. I believed, therefore have I spoken. It says, I was greatly afflicted, and understand that His affliction is culminated in verse number 11. He says, I said in my haste, all men are liars. When we speak, we have to be cautious. Jeremiah 17:9 covers it. Says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Before we say something, do we guard our words? Do we watch what we're fixing to say? Do we understand that people are watching us? I've heard many a testimony of people who have come to Christ and they go home and they're so excited about receiving Christ their Savior, and God's has done something in their life. And their parents look at them and go, well, we'll see. I believe the psalmist is understanding that people are going to look at me and go, we'll see.